It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Here's something about me. I use the word awesome a lot in my daily life, right? For things that aren't really that awe-inspiring, you bring me the coffee I ordered. Awesome. You recorded that interview I did. Sarah, awesome. Thanks. That kind of thing. But awe has a deeper meaning. Experiencing awe can make us rethink the world around us and our place in it. And research suggests that experiences of awe may have long-term positive effects on our minds, bodies, and social connections. Tara DeLong is an associate teaching professor at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. In a new series at La Crosse Public Library, she's helping people find that elusive feeling. With students from her recreational therapy and mental health course, participants learn how to be in awe, even in small moments, with the hope of improving their well-being. Tara joins us now. Tara, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yes, my pleasure.
Well, as I've mentioned, I am responsible for degrading the meaning of the word awe. I'll say awesome to just about anything. Can you give us a sense, though, of what we're talking about when we're talking about this idea of actual awe and wonder?
Yeah. That's funny that you said that, because last night at our program, one of the students was like, yeah, you know, awe. And it is one of those words that's really kind of hard to describe, or emotions and hard to describe. But really, the idea here is that awe is this feeling that we get when we're in the presence of something big or vast. And in that presence, we're really thinking about how we're a little bit smaller in the world, right? We are able to kind of focus on something bigger than ourselves. And so it's those encounters that we have that allow us to have this feeling of vast and mysterious things. And so I feel like it's that those moments where we have goosebumps. It's that warmth in our chest. It's those tears that come to our eyes unexpectedly. In that way that we might experience awe unexpectedly.
We're going to focus, I think, on the upside of awe, but there's awesome and there's awful, right? Awe historically wasn't necessarily something happy, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's really important to bring up. So I'm glad you did. It's not all pleasant, right? So awe has been used sort of negatively and continues to be negatively at times. And we can also think about, yes, natural wonders and beauty as awe, but we also know that the natural world creates trauma and turmoil and destruction, and that's pretty awful. So yes, this is not without, we're not pretending that there isn't another side or a shadow side to the use of awe or experiencing awe in different ways based on different experiences.
Do you have a moment of awe that you think about that maybe inspired some of the work you're doing?
Well, I'm a natural half empty kind of gal. And so, and I'm kind of surrounded by all these half full people. And I think for me, it was really about how can I feel a little more, a sense of awe and wonder in my life. And because I just feel like I'm sort of just naturally drawn to the half empty. And so I really love nature. I love to garden. And I think what I started to do is just capitalize on that. I live in a beautiful place. I live not only in Wisconsin, but I live on the west side of the state near the Mississippi River. And there is just such ample opportunity, and it never gets old. And so I just started thinking about, like, this never gets old. I'm never tired of eagles and water and nature. And so a couple of times a week, I walk with a friend, and that is really our goal. We call it our awe walk. I have it in my calendar as my awe walk. It's sacred time. I very, very rarely schedule over it. And we are on a search for these moments, these like little small moments, intersections of our lives as we are on this walk. And it's neighborhoods, and it's the river, and it's marshes, and it's everywhere.
I'd heard about your idea of the awe walk, and I gave it a try this morning on my way to work, and I recorded a little bit of it to set this up. Okay, here is me trying to experience awe this morning. All right, I'm gonna look for some awe in a place I don't usually expect to find it. The bus stop on the way into work in the morning. Not really in an awe-finding mood, but we got a pretty good sunset going. Sunset, sunrise. Yeah, it's the morning. Sun is rising over in the east there. Some really cool colors in the clouds, like blue and orange.
It's cool. Am I filled with a feeling of awe? I'll work on it after I stop talking here. It's pretty cool, though. And it's something I don't always pay attention to.
And Tara, trying that moment, trying to find awe in a very, very mundane part of my life, makes me very curious about your awe walks. How do you get yourself in that mindset when you're going for this walk to find that wonder, to find that awe?
Yeah, I think such a good question. I think part of it is that you have to let go a little bit. It's not a whole hour of awe, right? It's like, what did you see? What were those moments? So your example of the sunset or the sunrise, sorry.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
It's just
thing,
like
yeah.
You're curious about, ooh, the colors and the changes in the sky, right? Those are things you wouldn't necessarily notice. And then paying attention to that. So oftentimes when you walk with friends, you often complain about things, right? And so it keeps us accountable to each other by saying, okay, we're looking for awe, right? So it's an interruption. It's a way to help that default brain kind of like reset. And I'll give you an example. So the other morning, we're walking through the marsh and you can see this, it's a very still morning. It's just the tiniest ripples on the water. And I'm like, what is going on there, right? So like, I'm asking, I'm being curious, I'm wondering, these are things I haven't seen. I, there's a knowledge gap here. And I'm like, oh, that must be a muskrat. But it, you know, you couldn't see the head, you couldn't see anything. So even those small things, I mean, I'm okay. I can admit that I didn't know that was a muskrat, you know? So I think that setting it up for you, it's trying to pay attention a little bit. It's trying to be more in the moment in a way that doesn't feel like I'm judging. And sometimes when we think about practices that help and or support well-being and our mindsets, like meditation and relaxation, all those take some time and effort to like sit in the quiet, right? And be present and try to manage the suffering of quiet and just focusing on my breathing. And what I love about this is that it's active, and that works for me. I like being active. I like to be actively involved and being and mindful at the same time. And so this is something that I feel like contributes to my well-being, but it supports connection. It allows me to get out and be in nature. So all those things that I value. And, you know, it's leisure.
Something that really strikes me there is you're talking about attentiveness and curiosity to the world around us. And there's a real roadblock there. I was holding it in my hand to record my impression of that sunrise, my phone. It is really easy to tune out, tunnel out the rest of the world that we can maybe find that awe and that wonder in. Read that same website for the 50th time this week or something like that.
Yeah. And having to sort of choose to put down that device, take a deep breath, be intentional about paying attention. You know, the art of noticing is just that. If we set out to notice things, we're going to notice things. One of the exercises that I have my students do on the first week of classes is pick an ordinary item. And now head out to the world, and I want you to tell me where you see these ordinary items. And so we're talking about, you know, fire hydrants or benches or exit signs or, you know, all a number of things. And they come back after a week and they're like, holy cow, I had not ever noticed that there were so many of, you know, blank. And again, it's just like reinforcing that for our brain. So we can learn these skills. We're stuck with these devices. I don't think they're going away. And I think we have to learn how to coexist with them in ways that turns off that sort of addictive need or want for more. Our brains are hardwired for that. And so knowing that, being able to practice that, those are all really important. And we could also acknowledge it, that this is a distraction, right? This phone, this computer, the demands of those things. But is it a demand 24/7? Is that what the world expects of me? Or is that what I am just defaulting to?
Tara DeLong is with us from UW La Crosse, helping us discover a sense of awe and wonder in the world. One thing that'll get me, and it's a mind perspective thing too, is the moon. right? Sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, there's the moon in the sky, whatever. And then sometimes I'm like, so somebody in Mexico sees it? That's the same moon I'm looking at. Somebody in China, same moon. Somebody in ancient Greece is writing about the moon. That was the same moon. Just having that bigger than myself kind of perspective of just the vastness of the world and all the people who've shared the experience of looking at this thing. Sometimes I can get myself to that mindset. Is that part of the story? Is that part of how we're seeking that awe?
Yeah, I think that's really what's evoking it, right? This realization that there is more to this life than just like maybe me and my focus, my self-focus, right? So there's more than just me. There is this bigger world, and there's all these things out there seeing the same thing. Or when I'm looking up, of course, like the Milky Way, the sky, right? The wonders of that. But I also sometimes think about astronauts, you know, looking down on the Earth, and like, we are but a speck. And I am one speck across, you know, a billion other specks in terms of one person in this space. And so sometimes that for some people doesn't feel awe-inspiring, right? They just feel like insignificant. But I am, when we say it or when we're talking about that, it's like not insignificant, but also thinking about how we could be pro-social with that feeling, right? So that moon, all those other people who see that moon and appreciate that moon are with me in this appreciation. And that is sort of a sense of like a connection, right? I mean, that keeps us connected. So some people feel less lonely when they start thinking about that vastness of this world that we have. And as we know, loneliness is an emerging mental health challenge in our communities. And so if there are ways for us to insert awe or utilize awe in ways that helps people have better sense of, you know, connection or belonging, then this is a positive opportunity.
Yeah, you work on, among other things, health education and mental health. Can cultivating this sense of attention and awe have mental health benefits?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dash's research really kind of talks about some of what they saw or what they found in terms of those benefits of brief doses of awe. So what they suggest is that, you know, we are experiencing awe, whether we know it or not, and two or three times a week, even when we're not trying, right? So if we start paying attention to, again, like, As I had proclaimed earlier, my half empty self, if we start paying attention to those things, we're going to see the things we're paying attention or looking for. And then what happens is that now we've activated some of these qualities that lead to better health outcomes. So things like improved immune systems, knowing that I can be in those moments, lowers my stress. It helps me reason. I guess some of the research suggests that we are sharper in terms of our brain functioning when we're paying attention or experiencing those feelings of awe and wonder. It brings a sense of expanded time because we're out of the self, right? We're not just so focused on me. I'm able to focus on, again, maybe kindness or this sense of selflessness or perspective. And all of those things contribute to a sense of belonging, a sense of connection. And that connection is really builds some mental health, quality mental health for people. And it's not necessarily about illness, but it's about how do we improve health. And that is, I think that's a powerful way to be proactive. And this is accessible to everyone. And I'm not suggesting it's an answer or a cure for something. It's really, are you in your space, are you able to cultivate a feeling of awe that helps you feel like you're connected and that you belong in this place and that you have some significance and that you can contribute? And all of those things lead us to purpose and being part of a community. And I think that is part of the answer to some of this distance that people feel and isolation that people feel in their daily lives.
Tara, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing your work with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Tara DeLong is an associate teaching professor in recreational therapy at UW-La Crosse. She's helping people find awe in a series of classes at the La Crosse Public Library. Question for you based on one part of that conversation. Do you ever feel like your phone gets in the way of connecting with the world, of appreciating the world around you, the people around you, or landscapes, or what have you? Have you found ways to resist that temptation to pick up and look at your phone whenever you have a moment standing about? Let us know. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.